Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Dr. Bryce Edwards on the line. Hello, Dr. Bryce Edwards.
Hi, Mikey.
Sounds like Game of Thrones, doesn't it, when you say the Prime Minister's at Davos? The World Economic Forum. That's what she is. That's what she's doing. She's pressing the flesh. She's working the room. Is she doing a good job?
Wow, she's getting good press coverage, that's for sure. She's talking up New Zealand's well-being approach to economics at the moment. And so that's wowing the billionaires and political leaders in Davos about how New Zealand's going to have a new approach in its budget this year, whereby we're not just going to count the numbers of, you know, our surplus and our, you know, rates of inflation and employment. We're going to look at all these other things like mental health and other more social parts of, you know, society to work out how well our economy is going. And so, yeah, she's also talking about mental health, talking about climate change, talking about, she talked about 10 years ago being booed in Auckland at a meeting when she talked about climate change. And so I'm not sure what that's all about, but
wouldn't that have been interesting if she said that and looking around the room there would have been people biting their nails sitting there going, that was, I might have been a booer back then, but
well, she mentioned even her own family members were booing her. I guess she's very good at that sort of flippant, you know, sort of humour, and she's just trying to get across that, you know, our kind of approach to global warming, climate change, has changed so remarkably in 10 years that now it really is the number one issue in politics. And the New Zealand government supposedly is at the forefront of, you know, leading the world and making some changes, she says.
We do, at least. Well, I mean, I'm not sure whether we're leading the world as far as that goes,
sure,
but we are talking about it. It is at the top of the pile as far as topics go, and I think that's a few other countries that it gets lost, you know, in the toing and froing. I noticed that the smartest man in New Zealand, if only we could all be as have so much knowledge and wisdom as Senior Hosking, said that the well-being budget, that the fact that the world was interested in our well-being budget and the well-being approach to economics in this country, that there was a spin from the New Zealand government trying to make us look good, and that really no one over there was really interested at all, apparently.
Well,
do you think that's the case?
Oh, look, it is hard to know back in New Zealand. You know, we only get the filtered version of everything, but I mean, we've got Al Gore, we've got Sir David Attenborough, Prince William, they're all singing the praises.
There's some big hitters there. There's some Women's Weekly covers right there.
that's true.
I saw the bit on television last night where Al Gore welcomes her on stage, and next I'd like to introduce you now to, and by the way, I'm a big fan, Jacinda Ardern. You know, like, sort of, like, who says that? Who says that at a conference like that? You know, that's like, it's quite bizarre, isn't it?
It is all quite weird. And of course, also just out now is the foreign policy magazine's Global World Thinkers. Their edition has come out to coincide with the Davos stuff, and that lists Jacinda Ardern as one of the leading global thinkers at the moment.
Wow.
And and Helen Clark's written a nice piece, essay in that, about why Jacinda Ardern should be regarded as a top global thinker. And she says, in an era defined by the emergence of populist leaders who are often authoritarian, reactionary and male, Ardern stands out as progressive, collaborative and female. And she goes on to explain how Ardern is really pushing this kindness policy. Kindness values, that's at the heart of all the things that this government's doing, apparently. So,
well, I'm down with that if that's the case. I'm happy with that. And you got to say Helen Clark, you get good post-sale service with her, don't you? She doesn't have to talk up the New Zealand government anymore, and she's, you know,
no, that's right. But she's in Davos too.
Of course she is.
Yeah, that's right.
She's wandering around going, should have voted me in the UN, should have voted me into the UN, should have voted me into the UN. Yeah. Oh, no, don't worry about it. It's good. Everything's fine, isn't it? Don't worry about it.
There might be some other job that she's lining up. I don't know. But, of course, Ardern has also been in the UK, and she talked with Theresa May, which was astonishing to, you know, arrive just when the British government were in the midst of their Brexit, you know, crisis. But Theresa May met with Jacinda Ardern nonetheless, and they discussed Brexit, and New Zealand reaffirmed that we stick with the UK and yeah. we want to sell them lots of butter.
Yeah, please, please, enjoy our butter, yeah.
The, and of course...
Sorry?
Yep, and we... and. Ardern gave lots of interviews over there. She was front page on lots of newspapers, and she gave a really interesting interview with the BBC. Well, interesting because the interviewer asked her some odd questions. Well, certainly questions that I think we in New Zealand would find a bit odd, specifically asking about whether she was going to propose to her partner, Clark Gayford. No, because yeah. she's a feminist and so forth. So, you know, there was probing about her marriage intentions, and so that kind of was a bit surprising.
I'm actually surprised it hasn't been played a bit more here, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, yep. I think it's fine. I don't have a problem with it, but it's the, but you know, it's something that you know, remember. Helen Clark not having children, God forbid, well, that sort of thing, you know, there's that whole thing, that whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, the context of the question was, I guess, just in Darden feminism, and yeah. the interviewer wants to know how much of a feminist are you really? Would you be prepared to propose to your husband, you know, sort of, I mean, your partner? And she sort of batted away the question. She was a bit surprised about it, I think. And she handled it very well. And she said she wouldn't, though. But she kind of justified it not in terms of, you know, I believe only a male should propose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She justified it saying, well, I don't want to let him off the hook. You know, I want to see him squirm.
Fishing analogy, too. That's good.
Yeah, so she sort of laughed away and handled yeah. it very well, I think. But, people have asked, well, you know, would interviewers ask male prime ministers about it, but
yeah, yeah.
I'm not quite sure if that's the point.
Nah, I think she's probably been ready for that question for years.
Yeah, true.
What's Andrew Little been saying in the United Nations? To the United Nations?
He's also in Switzerland at the moment because, of course, United Nations is not only in New York; they have their other headquarters in Geneva, and that's where they have their human rights branch. And so, the Human Rights Council, every year they look at different countries and, you know, sort of probe them on their human rights. And it's New Zealand's turn this year, so every, I think, 4 or 5 years.
It's like an audit, is it? Sort of thing.
Yeah, it's an audit. Yeah. And you've got to have a representative of the government, in this case the Justice Minister, Andrew Little, come over and defend New Zealand's human rights and sort of have to answer some hard questions. And he's given a very frank assessment of New Zealand's human rights record, and instead of just, you know, saying how great it is, which is what New Zealand politicians normally try and do, he's actually talked about the justice system failing, and he's
yeah.
talked about the fact that, you know, we have the highest, you know, some of the highest incarceration rates, we have all these ethnic inequality issues in terms of justice and family violence. And so he said that the justice system is broken.
Would you agree with that personally?
Oh, I would actually. Yeah,
yeah, me too.
And,
yeah.
And so I think it's very brave of him, you know, saying that. And it means that, I mean, I'm unconvinced yet that this government's actually going to do enough reform in that area. They talk a big game, but at least he's showing that they're not complacent. He's actually, you know, facing up to the problem. And saying there is a problem, so
I kind of agree with you there too. I'm not sure whether the government are going to be able to pull off what they say they're going to pull off about this, but at least we're having that conversation that it is broken, you know,
yeah,
and the proof's there, and it's ongoing, never ending proof until someone does do something about it, you know.
Yes, and he's controversially talked about the ethnicity element of it and said that colonisation is still having an impact on New Zealand and therefore the justice system. So again, that's getting into an area that you will have lots of,
When you really dig into the justice system in New Zealand, and you go there with that in the back of your mind, it is kind of quite obvious. It sort of does in a weird way, which seems unusual
yeah.
and bizarre. But if you're not if you're one of the people, one of the victims of that.
That's
but,
right.
You know, it is still around. It's still about, you know, and there's still a definite bias, and there's still a, you know, you have to look at the handful of ridiculous get out of jail free cards that got handed out to some of the rich white folk in this country last year, which was unbelievable. Unbelievable, some of them.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, no, it's good to see one of the leading politicians in the government really talking, you know, quite frankly about this, and hopefully it will push this government to actually deliver.
Meanwhile, speaking of push this government to actually deliver, let's back around the globe again. Oh, back home. And beautiful New Zealand, home of no homes.
Yes, well, we had the housing affordability report come out earlier in the week, which suggested things are getting worse, that, you know, it's much harder to afford on New Zealand incomes to buy houses, to even rent. And so that put housing back on the, you know, the agenda for this year's political conversations. But then, of course, the flagship policy of the government is KiwiBuild. And, you know, they've promised to build 100,000, you know, affordable houses under this scheme over 10 years. They've always said it's going to take a while to ramp up and that it's going to be, you know, fewer houses in the first year or so.
They've done 33.
But 33 is quite
33, actually, not 33,000, 33.
Yes, 33 houses have been bought and sold.
There's been more houses on the block have been made, haven't they? How many episodes of The Block have been on since then?
Exactly. So it's looking very embarrassing about the KiwiBuild scheme. Phil Twyford, I think he is feeling embarrassed, and I'm starting to feel a bit sorry for him. I mean, this is just a bit of a nightmare.
There's got to be a way to do it quicker. There's got to be a way to do it for cheaper and quicker. Are we just sort of slave to the markup by the building industry? When I say building,
yeah,
industry, I mean products,
I think
and
it's a big part of it.
Yeah,
and I guess some of the logic of KiwiBuild, at the start at least, was that the government was just going to step in and actually just do this mass building and, you know, and cut out the middleman, not get these developers to do it, but just, you know, actually take on some of the construction industry and get it done. But what's ended up happening, at least recently, is that they're actually just going to developers and saying, hey, I see you're building this, you know, house, can we buy it off you? Sort of thing.
Yeah,
I'm exaggerating, but it's not really they're not really thinking big, to be honest.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, imagine in a country like China, you know, if they had a problem, the state would just step in and say, right, we are doing this.
You're going to get a massive big 3D printer, print out 700 million houses, and there we go, it's done.
Exactly, whereas I think the problem has always been that they don't actually have the budget for KiwiBuild because they don't want to raise taxes. They don't want to, for whatever reason, they don't actually have the money. So, no, they're trying to do it.
Is it dead in the ass, Bryce? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I think they should go back to the drawing board and look at something that's bigger and bolder and, you know.
That's a big sword to fall on, though.
Yeah, I mean, Phil Twyford, well, National's calling for Phil Twyford to be sacked and go. And
National should just shush on them because they, I mean, I suppose that's their job, but that's sort of their fault as well, a lot of it.
Exactly, you know? Both of those things, and they're not mutually exclusive. I mean, I think National, I don't think they can just shut up and.
No, you know, it's their job.
I mean, they were crap dealing with housing and government, but they still have to hold this government to account, and they still have to point out where Labor, yes, talked a big game, but aren't delivering.
I was just very quickly before we go, I was just.
Yep.
I plugged in my phone to my car to have listened to some music the other day, and when I do that, for some reason, it starts playing whatever's on in my music app on my phone. And guess what played? Guess what played? Guess what played?
I can't guess.
Guess what played? The audio from that I downloaded off the internet of the Simon Bridges Jamie Lee Ross conversation just came up. Just was the next thing on the list for some reason. And I just g'day mate, how's it going? Yeah, how have you been? Well, that's it. Just that weird conversation, and I forgot how weird it was and how creepy and how damaging it was. Listening to it again, and Jamie Lee Ross is back in the building.
He's back, and. He's not suggesting he has any more audio recordings, but
he's apologized. He's writing letters to everyone saying sorry.
Yeah, and but I bet he's keeping a few secrets up his sleeve if those apologies aren't accepted, basically.
It just surprised me listening to it again, just how, oh, that's right, it was quite a big, right, because it sort of seems novel now almost, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, hey, thank you, Bryce. That's a good full report from you today and a lot going on. Thanks very much. Okay. Speak to you again soon. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.